Our reading today is from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. One day Jesus was teaching. Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This is the word of the Lord.
I'd like to start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will be with me. I pray for all the people here who have had a difficult week. I pray that they would know how much you love them and how precious they are to you. I pray that you'll be with each one of us here tonight. Amen. So thank you to Nico for asking me to do this talk. My name is Alison Anderson and I've been coming to St George's here for 24 years and I've been a GP in the village for 21 years. As you may realise, this is a part two of a two-part mini-series on mental health. Last week, Nico spoke about Jesus being the one who sets us free. Free from guilt, free from fear. And he reminded us that God said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," before Jesus had even started his ministry. He hadn't actually done anything yet. He reminded us all that we are loved by God. We're important to God, whoever we are, whatever we're going through, and that God is with us, even if we can't feel him there. I would first like to pay tribute to and thank the three wonderful people who gave their testimony last week, Vicky, Izzy and Ollie. If you weren't here last week, can I really strongly encourage you to listen to the talk on the church website? This really is a two-part series and this is part two and it's a companion talk really to last week and I think their voices are really powerful and really need to be heard. So mental health, it's been more in the news recently. In particular, the tragic case of 14-year-old Molly Russell, who took her life recently, in part due to interaction with disturbing images on Instagram. Indeed, problems with mental health affect most people at some point in their lives. It's likely that 20% of us will have had a problem with mental health in the last week. That means one or two people in every row sitting in front of me. One or two in every row, maybe more. At least 10% of us will have a really quite serious problem with depression at some point in our lives. And indeed, some people feel so bad that they're driven to take their own lives. You may not realise, but suicide is the most common cause of death for men aged 20 to 49. Self-harm is particularly prevalent in young people and is even more a problem for LGBTI people. I'm not stating all these facts to upset people, but actually to point out that mental health problems affect nearly all of us at some point. And yet in our culture, until recently, we have really struggled to talk about it. I think I've been coming to church for about 30 years, and I don't think I've ever heard a talk on mental health. I'm particularly grateful to Princes William and Harry, who have done a lot to bring mental health out of what might be called the medical closet and help people start acknowledging this and to talk about it, especially men. Last year, over 4,000 men took their own lives in this country. That's more than 10 every single day. So, if just getting to church has been really difficult for you tonight, thank you for coming. I'm glad you're here, and I really want you to know that you're not alone. I'm going to split my talk into two parts this evening. Firstly, a bit about anxiety and depression, as these are our most common problems, from the medical point of view, and then try to see what the Bible says about mental health. So firstly, some of us are just a bit more prone to low mood and to anxiety than others. That may sound obvious, but actually some people do have very happy personalities, and some tend to be a bit more of a worrier. This is partly how we're made, and partly due to our life experiences. But one of the main barriers to getting help for mental health issues is our feeling that somehow we ought to manage it on our own. Now, a lot of mental health problems are due to problems with the hormone serotonin. Hormones are chemical messengers that help the body to function. We have lots of them. People know a lot about female hormones and the monthly cycle, and they know about testosterone, and so on. But I would actually like to mention three hormones tonight: thyroxine, insulin, and serotonin. This is the medical bit. So thyroxine is made by the thyroid gland in the neck. It's our metabolic rate hormone. If it goes low, we can feel very tired and sluggish. As far as I'm aware, people are not generally embarrassed to say they've got a low thyroid, and they don't feel they ought to manage without the tablets. Insulin is made by the pancreas in the tummy. It regulates our metabolism of glucose. If we don't have enough, we can become quite ill and get diabetes. If it's really low, people may need to inject themselves with insulin. Nobody tells them they ought to manage without that. Now we come to serotonin. This hormone is made in the brain. It's our motivation and happiness hormone. Various things can make it go up and down. If it does, then our symptoms are mainly psychological. Either hyperactivity and what we call mania if it goes too high, and depression and anxiety if it goes too low. But with this hormone, lots of people feel that they ought to manage it themselves, and other people tell them so too. You know the sort of comments. You don't want to start taking antidepressants, they're addictive. Actually, they're not. What have you got to be worried about? Come on, pull yourself together. It's a teenager thing. It's probably her hormones. Come on, you should be over that by now. And so on. Please, let's all of us here resolve not to say these sorts of things to people. It really, really doesn't help. Maybe instead ask people how they feel. Really listen. Try to understand. Now, I'm obviously not here to say everyone with depression or anxiety should be taking tablets. Indeed, I'm quite sure that counselling and therapy are just as important. But sometimes it's a bit like when we eat our food, we may need a knife and a fork. A lot of people need both tablets and therapy. And they may need to treat the problem fairly long term, just like when you have low thyroid or low insulin. But our British society treats people with serotonin problems very differently. Vicky shared last week how both tablets and therapy were helping her. Izzy spoke about counselling with a mentor at church. Ollie spoke about the importance of friends being supportive and talking about things. They all agreed that they found these really quite difficult at the start, but recognise all these things were vital in moving forward. Now, one of the questions that Nico received following last week's talk was, will there be a cure for depression? That question was really for discussion in the Life Cafe later, which is fine, but I think it's worth thinking about it now as well. And I think we have to ask, what do we mean by a cure? If we mean, can we cure it so it never comes back again, then I think probably not in the foreseeable future. But we don't have a cure as such for asthma, or for diabetes, or for thyroid problems. But people have wonderful, marvellous lives despite these conditions. They may need inhalers, tablets, or injections regularly, but that doesn't hold them back. One of the concepts we often try to help people with who have long-term conditions is to learn, if we can, to learn how to manage it with it kind of travelling along beside you rather than with it on top of you and overwhelming you. So at the moment, we cannot cure depression as such, but we can make it so it stops taking over your life. If the anxiety and depression are mainly caused by circumstance such as bereavement or losing one's job, relationship problems or so on, then it may all resolve with time. But if anyone here has ever had their appendix out, you'll know that you still have a scar. Some people find scar tissue a bit tender or it feels a bit different to the rest of your skin. Most of the time it doesn't bother you at all, but if it gets prodded a bit, it can feel painful. Emotional scars are similar. They can heal, but circumstances or stress may prod the scar and make them painful again. Don't forget that when Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, he still had his scars on his hands and his feet. The scars hadn't been removed, but they had been redeemed. And remember also, some people do have this tendency towards anxiety or depression in the same way as others have a tendency to asthma and eczema. In those situations, we need ongoing treatment to manage the problem. Just like an asthmatic is fine so long as they keep taking their inhalers, but if they stop, then sometimes things can go downhill. Another question that was asked was, do you have to be clinically diagnosed to know if you have depression or anxiety? Again, I think this is worth addressing for everybody. No, you don't necessarily have to be clinically diagnosed. I suspect many people know themselves they're going through difficulties. There's plenty of online symptom checkers nowadays where people can find things out. But I would almost ask the question the other way around. Can you actually tell on your own if you do have depression and anxiety? Because a lot of people can be a bit in denial that what they're feeling is actually not just being a bit worried or being a bit low, but actually something really rather more than that. And if you do think you have a problem with depression or anxiety, what then? I would suggest the next step is to talk to someone you can trust. It may be your doctor. It may be a family member or a close friend. It may be someone here in church. But as Ollie said last week, keeping it to yourself and trying not to think about it doesn't really help things get better or go away. Only by talking to someone and trying to get some help will things begin to go in a better direction. Here in church, we need to support people, whatever they're going through, physically, mentally, or spiritually. Church needs to be a safe space where people can be real and can be themselves. I would really love it if we banned the F word in church. I certainly ban it in my consulting room. No, not the F word that you may all be thinking. The F word I mean is spelled F-I-N-E, fine. You know how it goes. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. We say it all the time. And of course it's okay, because it's kind of how we greet people, isn't it? But maybe sometimes we could say, how are you really? Or we could answer, actually this last week has been pretty difficult. We shouldn't have to put on a happy Christian face to come here. Here is where we need to be real. So back to our reading. Luke 5:17-26. Healing of the paralytic. Well, that's not really about mental health, is it? Thanks a lot, Nico. Or is it? I'll come back to that in a moment. But first, on being asked to talk about mental health and realising I hadn't heard a talk in church before, other than the sort of cheerful exhortations to pray and it will all be fine. That's that word again. I realise there's a whole book in the Bible that I have never heard a sermon on. This much neglected book is the Book of Lamentations. It's in the Old Testament and is a series of songs or poems that were written when the Jewish people were captured by the Babylonians and taken off into exile. It has been included in the Bible as it's part of real life. Sometimes circumstances are difficult, and we have to acknowledge that and be real. I'm going to quote you a few verses of this book because I've never heard them in church before. But if you're interested, you can look it up later. It's hidden there between Jeremiah and Ezekiel in the Old Testament. So these are from Lamentations. She passes her nights weeping. The tears run down her cheeks. Her friends have all betrayed her and become her enemies. The Lord has put me at their mercy. I have no strength left to resist. My eyes dissolve in tears, since the Comforter who could revive me is far away. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He's weighed me down with chains. And when I call and shout for help, he shuts out my prayer. I think these are verses of depression and anxiety. And yes, there's 5 whole chapters of them in the Book of Lamentations. We have just had Christmas with the promise of Emmanuel. God is with us. And yet at times, when we feel low or very anxious, sometimes we cannot feel his presence. We start to doubt he's there at all. The Jewish people at the time of the exile cried out repeatedly to God. It must have felt as if he were ignoring them. King David also regularly wrote about his anguish in the Psalms. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? My guilt is overwhelming me. It is too heavy a burden. My life is worn out with sorrow, my years with sighs. My strength yields under misery. My bones are wasting away. And even Jesus, when he was suffering so much on the cross at the end, felt as if God had turned his back on him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Yes, we know God heals, and yet we must be honest and admit sometimes he doesn't, or not in the way we want him to. Sometimes we can feel abandoned and far away from him. Now, I believe in Emmanuel, God is with us, and I believe he keeps his promises, one of which was, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. But sometimes we don't feel that. And we need each other's support, particularly at these times. So turning to the passage that was read to us from Luke's Gospel, I want to draw out 3 things. Firstly, the importance of friends. I want you to picture the scene. Jesus is teaching probably from a house in Capernaum, and all the great and the good, the religious leaders and the people from all over Galilee, even as far away as Jerusalem, which is about 90 miles away, had come to hear. It's really, really crowded, and the posh people and the leaders have probably got the best seats. The friends of the paralyzed man may have heard amazing things about this teacher, healer, and they really just want to get their friend to him. I was thinking what the man himself might have been feeling. He's probably been paralysed a long time. May have had other healers try to heal him. His friends are busy trying to get him in, but there's too many people. They're bumping him into people. He's embarrassed. Everyone's looking at him. Why don't we just give up and go home? But the friends were with him. They stayed with him. Whatever his own views may have been, we're not told. Even though it wasn't easy and there were so many obstacles, they managed to get the man to the healer. I think it's important to know they didn't try to fix him themselves or tell him to rejoice in his sufferings or learn patience, but they took him to the healer. I believe there's a lesson for all of us with suffering friends. We need to journey with them, not necessarily trying to fix it ourselves. We need to take them to the healer. For us, this may well mean in prayer, but it could also mean practical things, like going with them to a doctor's appointment or to see the counsellor for the first time. It could be just sitting with them when they're low or struggling. Most of all, it means not giving up on them, but journeying with them to the place and the person who can heal. Sometimes when you are feeling low, you can feel abandoned by your friends. Sometimes it's difficult to make friends, or your friends decide they don't want to be friends with you. If that is you, please do talk to people here. Maybe think about joining a life group or a home group where people meet together, do life together, journey together, and basically support each other. Here in church, we don't want you to either be alone or feel alone. So please, don't go home tonight feeling alone. My second point is about the religious people, the ones who did have the good seats, the accepted, the in crowd. Why had they come to hear Jesus? They might have come in good faith, interested in what he had to say. But it seems that many had come with their own agenda and their minds already made up about him, ready to judge him. So my second point is about being judgmental. As it says in verse 21, the Pharisees and the religious leaders began thinking to themselves, judging Jesus. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" So for each one of us when we come to church, are we coming to listen or to judge? To support people or to knock them down? So often people can be so quick to criticise. Sometimes Christians say, "Why aren't you looking joyful? You're supposed to be joyful at all times." Really? When we don't know what's going on in people's lives, what their worries are. We're all human. The leaders, the worship band, the sound team, the prayer people, all of us sitting here. We have our ups and downs. 1 in 6 of us will probably have had problems in this last week to do with mental health. So just be aware of that before we make comments that may not be really helpful. The lovely people in the band behind me have been here since mid-afternoon, preparing to lead worship and help us. I sometimes play in the band at the 11 o'clock. Really quite often someone comes up at the end to tell us that the drums or the guitar are too loud, or they didn't like the song choice, or complained to the sound team that it was too loud or too quiet or too something technical. It would just be wonderful if we could all stop criticising, at least maybe not say anything immediately after the service. Think it over, and if you feel your criticism is constructive, maybe send an email to the service leader on Monday but not at the end of the service. People have given of themselves, including the paid leaders, when they're up here. They may themselves be struggling with issues. And then sometimes they can be knocked down. Equally, if you profoundly disagree with everything I'm saying tonight, I'm sorry, I'm just doing my best. It's absolutely fine not to agree with me, but actually please don't tell me, at least not today. I don't actually want to hear it today. Well, I'm actually happy to hear it from the life people when we all meet after the service. But not anyone over 30, thanks. So if you want to complain, you need to tell Nico. I would just suggest not until tomorrow. Like Jesus said, why are you thinking these things in your heart? I'm just as bad. I complain and criticise as well. But when we have the urge to complain or to criticise, maybe we'd need to look inside ourselves. Maybe it's us that have the problem, not the speaker, or the worship band, or the sound team. Maybe, just maybe, it is us, our problem, not theirs. So finally, and most importantly, my final point is that Jesus truly is the one who heals. But he heals us holistically, not just what we think we may need. The friends brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. They were desperately hoping he would be healed and to be able to walk again. But Jesus did so much more than that. He forgave him all his sins. He healed his body. But he also healed his mind and his soul, and he set him free, truly and wonderfully free. As it says, the man immediately stood up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. This man was not only trapped in his physical body, he was trapped, unable to be a fully functioning man in his society. And Jesus released him and healed him to be the person he was meant to be. And going back to the Psalms, after times of weeping before God, David finds his hope again. Put your hope in God. I shall praise him yet, my Saviour, my God. God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not withheld his love from me. God really does love each one of us. Each one of us sitting here. Even when we can't feel him, he is there. He is with us. Even if we're not sure if we believe in him, he is there. He is with us. In the middle of the night, when you feel anxious and unhappy, he is there. He is with you. He's promised to be. You are loved by God. You are important. You are his precious child. If you remember nothing else from this evening, I've asked this to be on the overhead, because that's what I want you to go home knowing. God loves you, each person sitting here. There's nobody here that doesn't apply to, nobody at all. You are loved by God. You are important. You are his precious child. Being depressed or anxious doesn't make you a bad person or even a bad Christian. It may mean you just need some help. Please do talk to someone at the end of the service if this is you at all. I'm also leaving out some information about free counselling service. Please don't go home without taking one. I don't want you to use the F word, but if you are fine, please still take one for a friend. If you're not okay, please take one for yourself. Now, sometimes we can come along to a church service and think, yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? Oh, a bit boring, didn't get much from that. And instead of listening to God, we just kind of slightly detach. But today, Nico and I would like to invite people to respond. And before I do that, I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that people here would know that you love them, whoever they are, whatever they're feeling. I pray that they know that they're your child. I pray they know that you are precious. We'd like to invite anyone who wants to, both people who have a mental health issue and the many who don't, if you would like to come to the front. Because I think there are some things some people may need to hear. I'm going to ask Nico to come up first. Nico, you are loved by God. You are very important to him. Nico, you are God's precious child. I'd like to invite anyone who wants to come up, and we'll ask your name, and we'll say those words while the band plays.